Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
To Jesus and bless him. Call him every name and every blessing him to be. The Lord for the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Please lift your voice. Grant understanding, O God. Grant understanding in the name of Jesus. Grant us understanding. Grant us understanding in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lord, we ask you again for understanding in the name of Jesus. Let our hearts be receptive to your word and let it transform our lives, and let the proof be at work in our lives and through our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. It's good to be back home. I want to thank the Lord for this opportunity again. It was a great time in God's presence. I want us to pray tonight. And Tonight's teaching is a call. You know, tonight made me understand again the power of being in the Spirit and truly what can happen to a man when you are genuinely connected to the flow of what God is doing. Praise the Lord. Yes. As I came up here and heard Pastor Alpha teaching, and then so tonight's teaching is a call. If you are not great and you have not seen anything in God, you may not need tonight's teaching. Tonight's teaching is for people who have seen the hand of God. Tonight's teaching is for people who have committed themselves to press into the things of the Spirit. And doesn't mean that if you're just starting out, the teaching for you, but this is God speaking to the matured ones tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Come up hither, part one. Come up hither, part one. Unto him who sits on the throne, blessing and honor. To Jesus, the Lamb that was slain, glory and power. Sits on the throne, blessings and honor. Blessings and honor. To Jesus, the Lamb that was slain, glory and power. Is a place of encounters. An encounter makes a revelation real to you. Come. Lord, faithful and true, Lamb of God, I worship Thee. King of kings, Lord of lords, faithful and true, Lamb of God, I worship Thee. Hallelujah, glory to the Lamb, glory to the Father, You are seated on the throne. Hallelujah, glory to the Lamb, glory to the Father, You are seated on the throne. Adoration to the Father, You are seated on the throne. Father, tonight again, we cry that You will truly take us higher, cause us to rise to strange dimensions in the Spirit, and let the proof be evident, O God, that we have stepped higher in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please be seated if you can, and then be sensitive. Hallelujah. Please be sensitive, especially for those of us who came from far. You didn't come to waste your time. You see, let me tell you something about a call and a ministry. Listen, listen. See, when God calls a man, the anointing is not the only thing that is given. You have to understand this. Every ministry has many standard spiritual features. When God calls a man, please listen, there is an anointing that is upon that man by reason of his knowledge and his personal press into the things of God. There is the anointing that is on the office that that man occupies spiritually. There is the anointing that is on that man by reason of discerning and being part of the current move of God. They are not the same. Are we together? And then there is the anointing that comes by reason of the dimensions that God wants to take people into based on the truths that are revealed. And then at certain levels, depending on the call and what office, there are covenants. Please listen. That means a vow that God made with that man, that as far as it relates to this assignment, I have bound myself to do certain things that has nothing to do with even the vessel. You see that? Then there are angelic manifestations. Listen now. There are angels that work with believers. There are angelic presence. Please listen. As a believer, he said his angels, he shall put his angels charge over you. There are angelic presence that work with believers. But there are angels that don't follow a man. They follow anointings. They don't need to know who that individual is. It's an office. The same way they give you an office and there are cars, there are PAs. They don't have to know you. It is part of the equipping of the kingdom. You see that? It's very important. And then there are also angelic presence that signify revelations. It is not only the anointing that gives revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which he gave unto John, his servant. He said he sent it and signified it by his angel. Hallelujah. So, when you're in a meeting like this and you see things like this happen, it's an interplay of many things. It's not just a generic move of an anointing from an anointed man. There are things happening that have nothing to do with the vessel himself. There are things that are as a result of the health of the secret place of the vessel. There are certain things that are based on the office that is being played. I just wanted you to learn and to know this. Because many times, believers just wonder. Look, let me tell you this. You see, these things, God is blessed. It is not just that God is proving that a man is anointed. Some of these people fall in. Many things are happening at the same time. There are deliverances. There are impartations. There are the opening, spiritual vistas. It's like a veil just being open to movement into dimensions. This is how people grow. It is not my desire to carry some of these graces and these possibilities and just have people watch it. When God sends a word to Jacob, it is because of Israel. That you will also be able to carry these dimensions. You see, transformation is difficult when there is no reference. So God finds a man that represents a possibility, and then your spirit and your mind is able to comprehend that dimension as true and possible. Then you can release your faith and step into it. Koinonia, we call it. Is it alright if you pray for 1 minute and just ask the Lord? Say, Lord, all the graces, all the revelations, Pastor Alpha, let us. No, you don't have to stand. Just pray. Please pray with desperation and hunger. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please be seated. Revelations 4. Tonight will be a mighty time. It will be brief so that we'll pray. We pray for grace, we pray for strength. Revelations chapter 4. This I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be thereafter. Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must, not may be, certainty, things which must be thereafter. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. How can I see by myself unless you take over? I'll never know it on my own unless you take over. Take over, Jesus, take over. Take over, Jesus, take over. How can I speak by myself unless you take over? I will not hear it on my own unless you take over. Take over, take over, take over, take over. You cannot learn it on your own unless He takes over. You'll never see it by yourself unless He takes over. Listen, there are dimensions you can never see by willpower and study. It is given like an initiation. Until your eyes are open, you will never see it. He said, call unto me and I will answer. I will be the one to show you. If I don't show you, you cannot see it. You can study, you can pray, you can fast. But for seeing, you may have eyes, but you can never see it. There are realms that are shown. It's called fellowship with the mystery. You are brought into oneness with truths and revelations. We'll never know it by ourselves unless He takes over. We cannot know it by ourselves. I'll never hear you on my own unless you take over. Take over, Jesus, take over. Take over, take over. Please sit down. Tonight is a call to press higher. Tonight is a call to shake us away and out of spiritual complacency. Tonight is a call to show us that there is more. That regardless of that which we have seen, there is more. That's why I said, if you have not done anything serious in the spirit, this message may not be for you. This message is for someone who has healed before. It's for someone who has prophesied before. It's for someone who is at the cutting edge of the move of God. It's for someone who has tasted and seen the power and the glory of God. Tonight's message is for someone who knows what it means to be used by God. Tonight's message is for someone who knows what it means to have the anointing, not guessing. Come up hither, he said. Come up here to a higher realm of prophecy, to a higher realm of teaching, to a higher realm of visions, to a higher realm of spiritual power. I'm a student of revivals. God has granted me the privilege to study the moves of God. Please listen. And I have studied revivals. I've listened to a few senior colleagues and fathers in the ministry talk about revivals, either based on their experiences or what they were told. Please listen carefully. And I learned this from a man of God, that the current move of God always fights the next move of God. That the enemy of the next move of God is the current move. Because many times, listen carefully, every move of God comes with a level of outstanding results. Every move of God comes with a performance in a higher dimension. And usually, because of the consistency that will come with that move over a period of time, it is easy for those who have mastered the strategy that makes them relevant within that move to plateau in the spirit and not believe that there can be more again. Now listen very carefully. When the healing ministry started, listen carefully. Great men like Alexander the Way and these generals of God, they moved in very strange dimensions. But then a time came when the healing ministry seemed to just plateau, because it looked like men had gotten to the zenith of what they believed that God could do. When the prophetic came, people rose to certain levels, and it looked like those who were the highest manifestors of those gifts just stood at a realm. This is not backsliding. This is that you have exhausted every possibility that is within the jurisdiction of that move. There is nothing you can do as far as that dimension is concerned. You have exhausted it. At that level, you will need Revelations chapter 4. A time will come when you will find out that every dimension you need to see as written for you by God within a level, you have exhausted it. You've read it. You've preached it. You've done everything. And let me tell you this. Listen very carefully. I say it with all humility, but I have seen, you see, when you start walking with God, because of the extent of the downpour, listen carefully, of visions, of revelations, you are being open to new things. And then especially if you have the privilege of what I call pioneer status, that means that you are the first among the few to introduce that dimension to a territory. Because of the scarceness of that revelation, there will be a lot to do. I mean, you are so full of revelation, you can preach back to back and there are messages. But a time will come when the people within that territory all come into that experience. They are baptized into it. Now listen very carefully. Remember when you were introducing it, because very few people knew about that dimension, there was hunger, and the hunger will always draw you. Anything you say, there will be an applause for it, because very few people could enter that dimension. But with time, everybody will continue to press as you guide them. Listen carefully. You will get to a point where the list has entered, like the Ark of Noah. At that point, now you will find out that together, the goal for that season has been met. Because God now used you and showed you a dimension. And so for 3 or 4 years, sometimes you will not even need to study anything new. You are so full, so full. It's like an animal that has just given birth and wanting the children to suck. When that happens, let me tell you what happens usually. Because of the joy, the beauty, the honor, the applause that comes by reason of your being used by God to produce certain dimensions, you may fall into the deception that the zenith of what you communicate is all that there can be. And so what you will continue doing is recycling the same thing. Recycling the same thing. Recycling the same thing. To mean that this realm that I've said is all there can be in God. Revelation starts with John the Beloved. Do you know who John was? John was not just an apostle. He was called the Beloved. That means if you arrange all the disciples according to their, permit me to use the word, according to their spiritual stratification, the first will not be Peter. The first will be John. The Beloved. There abided these three: faith, Peter, James, love John, the greatest. You see that now? And John was banished in an isle called Patmos for the sake of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And while he was there, he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. That's another discussion there. Because there are things you cannot see. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this. There are levels in the spirit where until you rise in the spirit, you cannot see. You cannot know. So he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard first, started with his hearing. I heard this and that and that. And then eventually he saw the church, the lampstands. And then he received a dimension of revelation to the seven churches that were in Asia Minor. Prophetically, the Catholic Church, the complete church. Because every one of those churches represented a dimension in the body that God was adjusting, commending, and correcting. Are we together? Having exhausted that, then he was open to another dimension of worship in heaven. Are we together? And to think that that was all, John was being told by this revelation that John, at this plane that you stand now, there is nothing to see again. Everything has been seen and every instruction has been received. Notice, John was never shown things that will happen. From that plane, he only saw things that were and things that are. That was it. Then chapter 4 comes and he says, come up hither and let's go to the future. Let me show you the things that must happen shortly. And John rolls to the future. There are realms that when you stand there, you will see what has happened and what is happening. But you may never see what God is up to. You can be a Christian. You can still be called. I learned very early in life and in ministry that as wonderful as fame is, it can be dangerous. That as wonderful as revelation and leadership is, let me tell you this. If you ever assume a pioneer status in the spirit, you have to be extra careful. Pioneers are usually the ones who hardly finish. Read the Bible. There are few pioneers that finished. Moses leads the people and never gets into the promised land himself. Are you seeing that now? It's very important. It's easy to follow a move that was not introduced by you. It's easy to follow on. Yours is just to observe template and to conform to it by the Spirit. The nation of Israel did not have to climb the mountain to experience God. They just needed to look at the face of the one who already went. What was in the mountain was now on the face of a man. So instead of climbing up the mountain, they just kept looking at Moses and they would have the same experience. But it was up to Moses to know the next thing that God would be doing. Are we together now? Powerful as Moses was, you can see the extent of his trial and error. They will wait behind and wait for him to go and fish out the new move. Then all of them will come and follow. It was because of this Moses was instructed to speak to the rock. And in anger he struck the rock. And because of that he said, no. This was not my program. You've corrupted it. You cannot enter Canaan. Pioneering the move of God is very dangerous. Many people like the honor that follows this and that to say, oh, we are the ones that started this dimension. But you see, the thing about it is that because you are at that level, you will feel indebted to that level. You will be emotionally connected to that move. You cannot leave it to the next level. Are we together now?
Yes.
That you were the first to open up a dimension of God to a territory. It's like you are the first to start producing this. And now when you are aware that this is no longer in use, if everybody leaves it, you will not want to leave it too. Because of that relationship. That's how it is, even with spiritual things. There are dimensions that you can be so emotionally connected to because of the experiences that surround that dimension. And when another move of God starts coming, you will prefer that the move comes to meet you there, but not to leave that level and to rise higher. That's why I said it is dangerous to pioneer spiritual things. It's a noble cause and it's a noble task, but the burden on it, it will only take the Spirit of the living God to help you. The second reason why it is dangerous, or by dangerous, I don't mean it is not advantageous. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you are in a very vulnerable position. The second is that because of the charisma and the ego, are we together? And the sense of achievement that surrounds that level, the moment you do any other move that is happening within that dispensation that you don't seem to be involved in, you can preach that it is error, or it is satanic, or it is demonic, because you are used to being the starter. You are not used to following. You are used to starting moves. Understand what I'm saying? You see that if you have not done anything in God, tonight's teaching may not really bless you. John was the first of his kind to introduce this dimension of the prophetic. A very strange prophet. The Bible says of all the prophets, none was as great as John. So John is in the wilderness eating locust and wild honey. A strange dimension of revelation. When Jesus comes, John baptizes Jesus. And then he's happy that he's baptized Jesus. Even John said, I may decrease. I'm not sure he understood what he was saying. Now, eventually, the disciples of John had to start living to join something that was a move. John was never in one of Jesus' crusades. They didn't hang him the next day. They didn't lock him the next day. John was alive. He was there. He never saw the need, because he believed that the emotional connect and the ego of pioneering things did not allow him to go there. Notice all the people that seemed to be pioneers were those who were offended with Jesus. The scribes and the Pharisees. We are the Sanhedrin council. What are you doing, Jesus? All the followers were excited. What is the new thing? Let us join. If it's bread, we eat. If it's the mountain, we climb. But the scribes said, not so. This is not how we have been doing it. Including John. Follow me very carefully. So John is hearing of the things Jesus is doing. And a few disciples who are loyal to him too come back. Look at the pain in John's heart. The people he had raised. I don't know what John thought he would become, but his honor was already there, for his assignment completed. But John probably believed that he would continue to run that ministry the same way Jesus was running it too, like a parallel, whatever it is. And it seemed as though Jesus did not have regard for John. Because we never see Jesus making any mention of John. Go and greet John. Oh, John, just to tell you, your boy is still here. The move continues. And the fame of Jesus is growing. John is threatened. The scribes are threatened. The Roman government threatened. Everything, every day was an episode of mighty things. Listen very carefully. Follow me. I want to show you something powerful. One day, John gets himself in trouble and he's behind bars, about to be beheaded, and he sends in offense. Listen, this is the current move, fighting the next move. Go and confirm. Are you the one that we should be waiting for? Are you the Messiah, or is there another? It was a sarcastic statement. It was not a question that required an answer. John was not ignorant. He was a prophet. And when Jesus heard it, Jesus said, I know what the problem is. It's a weakness in men. It's a weakness in pioneers. is a witness in those who are trusted to pioneer certain moves. Listen, what I'm teaching you is very deep. You will listen to what I said some years to come and you will cry. When God sent you to a region where they do not know one tenth of the truths that God has taught you, and for many years you become a celebrity and a mighty man, and God begins to do mighty things in and through you, and then one day you will hear and see of things that you were not involved with, and you will, this is the challenge. Let me not go ahead of myself. This is one of the major challenges, with all due respect, of fathers and senior colleagues in ministry, because of the mighty things that God did in and through them and the dimensions that were introduced. Sincerely speaking, not out of wickedness or whatever, they were so emotionally connected to starting things that they believed that if God is ever to do anything, it is impossible for them to not start it. So when they hear that mighty things are happening and they don't seem to be involved, they think it's to their honor. Whereas John was not there when Jesus commended him as the greatest prophet. In other words, as far as this move is concerned, receive your crown. You have done a great job. But let the program of God continue. And if you are interested, you will have to humble yourself and join that move, provided you are not pioneering it. I will show you those who got it right in the Bible. One of them was Mary. No woman as a virgin had ever gotten pregnant. It was a new dimension. Now, Mary had a right to sit down and say, my son Jesus, my this, my that. But when she discerned there was a new move, she followed them to the upper room and waited quietly. The mother of Jesus, among the 120 who would receive the Holy Ghost, was it not the, before some of them were born, she had been relating with the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Ghost that got her pregnant. And now she's coming to receive him in another dimension with humility. You understand what I will teach you, you will never miss any move of God. If you don't get it, there are moves that will leave you. You will stand in shock. It's not backsliding. You will just say, Lord, when did this cloud pass me? Mary got it right. John did not. John was offended. I will show you that even Jesus got it right. He knew that his purpose was not just to come and remain on earth. He knew the timing. And even in advance, he began to tell them, I am not afraid of handing over, because it is in handing over that my honor is multiplied. Listen. So Jesus is preparing the people. Watch this. And then he uses a very dangerous statement. It is expedient that I go. Ah. They said, no, you must remain here. You will be king. We ate bread. We like you. Remain. We like this kind of ministry. But he was saying, no. I'm even coming to, I'm a bridge between the old and the new. You must be so desperate for God that the position you occupy in the things of God should not matter. You must be so desperate for the things of God, like Mary. You can give birth to Jesus and still join to wait. She was not the one leading praise and worship in the upper room. If Mary comes and sits in Koinonia now, I will give her the mic. I will just give her and sit down. What does it like to carry the word of God bodily for 9 months? Mary, talk to us. Let's learn. I will hand over the ministry to Mary. There was no mention of her speaking. Imagine Mary was there among the 120. So Peter is praying. Remember, Jesus told us that in 10 more days, the Holy Ghost will come, and Mary is watching them. You know the level of humility it takes to be a mighty mover in a dimension. Sustain the humility to stand back. There is an obsession in men to be known. There is an obsession in men to be famous. It's a weakness in men. Please listen. Back to our story. So John is offended and makes a sarcastic statement. Go and ask Jesus whether he's the Messiah. The same said, behold the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. Now said, go and verify. Jesus, we are not sure again. Do you know what that message would have done to the disciples? They would have said, if Prophet John is now doubting Jesus, it means we have to be careful. It was a sarcastic way of saying, be careful with that meeting. Be careful with that move. So when Jesus heard it, he laughed. He said, go and tell the blind see this and that, and the gospel is preached. He said, blessed is he that is not offended in me. Then the disciples were now at the center stage. And one day, listen carefully, they heard that there were other people who were not part of their camp. There were some powerful miracles happening somewhere. And the disciples said, Jesus, what is going on here? And Jesus laughed. He said, you guys want to make the mistake of John. Whoever is not against us, is for us. They were so happy. There was a time, remember the mother of James and John, she wanted to come and see him. The disciples stopped and said, what is it? We're in a move. We're enjoying. You see why they were angry when Jesus said he was going. They said, well, what is all this one now? So what is our own take on this? You have created trouble for us and now you want to leave. You are not going anywhere. And Jesus said, no, it is expedient that I go. I'm going because you will now be on the center stage with the Holy Spirit. And they refused. Jesus was secured enough to finish his assignment and to step back to say, Spirit of the living God, these are the ones that represent the next move. Use them mightily. I will still be glorified. I'm digressing to make this statement so that you will understand. I have seen a lot of people who started great things in the body, and today they are not benefactors of the next move because their attachment and their ego will not give them the flexibility to blend into what God was doing. And so because they are being inert in next move of God will have to require an explanation. So they will fabricate an explanation that communicates error and they'll say, forget about those people. That's one of the reasons why so many people have insulted the prophetic today. I know that the prophetic has its own errors. I know if the prophetic has its own imbalances. But many people, because the dealings of God at that time did not open up to this dimension. There are people, for instance, who will see what just happened here and say, no way, God does not move like this. This is nonsense. Just because God did not move the way he was moving before does not mean he's not the one moving. The flexibility to discern the next move of God. And that if you are interested, you open up your heart and say, Lord, I must not pioneer that move to join what you are doing. If it is God and it brings glory to you, I'm on my way going. It's a very difficult thing. Difficult thing. If you are a follower, it's okay. But if you are one who moves, why will you see Mary among the 120 sitting quietly? I have looked for certain names who were once great names in the body, inasmuch as the move of the Spirit within their time was there. And those names are almost silent. And there has been no interest to find out what else is God doing. And sometimes they have begun to teach that, look, anything that is outside the scope of what we know is nonsense. That is a dangerous thing. That is the mistake of John. John would have followed Jesus quietly, and he would have died honorably. There would have been no reason for being beheaded. In every crusade, Jesus would have given him honor. Even the scribes were given honor. As terrible were, they never sat outside. They sat inside. They hated him, but at least they followed. They followed. Nicodemus came one day and said, Jesus, let me tell you, we are not stupid. We know. We know. We see what you are doing. We see the formation of a new move. We know that you are a man sent from God. For no man can do these things except God be with him. Except God be with him. I'm taking out time to establish this before we begin to build. I just felt it strongly in my spirit to tell us. Do you know why I'm saying this? Zaria, hear me. You are a privileged place. This is a place that God has put his hand very strongly. And many people from here, listen, God is distributing people from this city across several places. And you see, when you get to some of those regions, you will be surprised that as cheap as some of these revelations we trivialize are, you will find out that some of those regions are in utter scarcity. And you will be so relevant within a period. And if you do not sustain the discernment to know what next, when people come into that dimension, and you don't know how to come up hither, you will be in big trouble. You will become the biggest enemy to the next move of God. Alexander Dowe was a mighty, mighty healing evangelist. Listen carefully. He created what we call Zion, the Zion city. Are we together now? When, you know, then they didn't have internet and communication was not strong. So you couldn't know what was happening in another part of the world. The way was doing a mighty, mighty work. Until a strange woman later appeared called Maria Woodward Eater. Listen. When Maria Woodward Eater appeared, she introduced a dimension of the move of God that they call presence evangelism. That was when people would fall down like this and literally freeze in the same position for hours, having heavenly encounters. And she was a woman. Until then, the way was not aware that something was happening at the other side of the world. The day Alexander Dowe heard it, history has it. This is confirmed. Alexander Dowe told everybody that this woman, number one, as a woman, number two, this dimension was occultism. And he used his influence to fight that woman. Her first husband joined that conviction and fought her till he died. The current move of God usually will be the biggest challenge to the next move of God. The same way the law was the biggest challenge to the grace of God. Remember that the Sanhedrin Council started by the impartation of the spirit of Moses upon 70 elders. That's how it started. Eventually it had now become a religious place. And when Jesus came, they could not even identify him. So John had exhausted all his revelation within a dimension. He had seen. Had John returned back, John would never believe that there were higher dimensions. But then the angel told him, come up hither. Please prophesy to somebody. Say, come up hither. Come up hither. And I will show you the things that must happen. I call what I just explained to you the tragedy of complacency that comes with a successful move of God. It is a complacency. It is weaved in men. It's a weakness in men. That when you are successful in executing God's desire for a season, usually the impetus to inquire, Lord, can there be more, will not be there, because there are obvious evidences. Nobody can come and say you are not anointed. Nobody can say you are not intelligent. The records are there to show that you are anointed. The records are there to show you have built a great church. The records are there to show you are mighty. Let me give you an instance. In Nigeria today, the pattern of church growth is that there usually will be a central church, like a headquarters. Is that true? And then you will now have branches all together connected. Do you know that was not how it was before? There was a move of God that brought that formation. Do you know what the next move is? Because many young people in our generation now, every dimension you climb has the strategy for the move of God. I'm not saying that is wrong. You understand what I'm saying? So the way God revealed to our fathers, most of them, you will find out that there is a central headquarters. Is that true? That coordinates everything. Then there are branches around the world. It was never like that in the history of Nigeria. In fact, before that time, the strategy was to have a small church and be dangerously anointed and just hide there like a seer. And your job is to patch and release people. That was the strategy of men like Apostle Babalola. It was after his death that CAC expanded like that. The apostolic church and all of that. When you read about them, most of the great pioneers of the churches we have today, especially around the West, when they were the way they were small. Look at Redeem, for instance. The founder. They had not received the blueprint of establishment and expansion like that. Our fathers stayed with God. And God said, for this move that I am bringing, this is the strategy I am revealing. Are you seeing that now? But as wonderful as that is, it can be dangerous for someone in our generation to just mechanically begin to envisage. Because in the next 20 years, technology has taught us that you must be at the cutting edge of evolution. The same way it is scientifically, that's the same way it is spiritually. So if in our generation, your dream is to have branches in every state, you are already at the verge of missing something serious. Because that is not the pattern that will come. We must be able to stay and say, Lord, what is the pattern? As at the time that move started, there was no internet to create. So the advantage of connectivity was not there. Do you know what the move of God will be now that internet is an advantage? That a man can sit in his room and be talking to the whole world. It's dangerous to be where God was. It's dangerous to be where God was. He said, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. It's a dangerous thing to be where God was. It's a dangerous thing to be involved in what God was doing. You have to posture yourself to be relevant in what God is doing and what He's about to do. Your current level, at your current spiritual level, you can only see what God is doing. That's the limit. If you want to see the future, you must come up either. From Revelations 1 to 3, there was nothing futuristic. It was a revelation of things that were and the things that are. The moment he wanted to see the next program of God, he was asked to rise to a higher dimension. If you're with me, say amen. So we must trust God for grace to conquer what I call the tragedy of complacency. Please be careful. When you are the greatest of your kind within a territory, pray more. Fast more. Because the rest are waiting for you to move. And if you don't move just like you, they will stay. And can I tell you something? Usually when the move of God comes, all the followers are just faster. Because there is no embarrassment. Like the disciples of John. It is usually you. You see, which is also another reason. Why, listen, men of God, we must teach as though there is more in God. It is dangerous if you are teaching doctrines. Doctrines will not change. They are exact spiritual precepts given to the saints. But when you are studying the life, the character of God, you must create a lot of flexibility and earn the position of a student even before your members, so that there is no embarrassment if and when you have to adjust to the things that God is doing. If you're with me, say amen. An arrival mentality is a dangerous mentality for a Christian, for a man of God, an arrival mentality. I've seen miracles, I've seen signs, I've seen wonders, I've seen the move of God. But could it be that there's more in God than you've not seen? Now, I'm going to make a very serious statement. I want you to listen. Mentioned names is a father of faith that has gone to be with the Lord. Well-respected voice in the body. A great, I call him great-grandfather now. Papa E. Hagin. When you read Hagin's books, and you see a lot of things that Hagin wrote, you will know that Hagin was absolutely at the cutting edge of what God was doing at his time. But when you read Papa Hagin's books with the lens of what God is doing now, you will find a lot of gaps and the need for improvement, which is proof he succeeded. It's not proof that he's weak. It's proof that he succeeded. He left us a template, a ladder to build upon. It was Papa Hagin that wrote things like the anointing of the Spirit. The only medium that the anointing can move upon is a prayer cloth. And he's right, because he saw it in the Bible. But now we know that that is not absolutely true. It was a dimension of truth that was seen based on him. The anointing of the Spirit is as limitless as God himself. Are you getting what I'm saying now? It's very important. Let me tell you this. I have seen visions of the coming move of God, and I have been stretched myself because of the dimension of the things that will happen. Those dimensions will be fought tooth and nail. When I say tooth and nail, there are dimensions that even as a strong believer, you will need grace from God. You will need to look well from the lens of Scripture. It's the reason why God is grounding us on the Word now. So that when that dimension comes, your dexterity in the Word will make you be able. Listen to what I'm telling you. There are things we have not yet seen on earth that must happen before Christ comes. The Bible records it. There are dimensions we have only spoken about. The prophet said it. If as I'm standing here right now, you just see this mic on the table and I'm out, I'm gone. By this night, an internet is going to say, finally, exposed the voodoo power. Even from this example, some of you are already afraid for me. Apostle, don't do it. You see, let me tell you this. Yet, we read in the Bible that the Spirit took Philip and told him to join the chariot of a man, not in a vision. A man dematerialized, entered the realm of the Spirit, reformed back and stayed on a chariot. And the eunuch was afraid. He didn't run away. He told Nathaniel, you will see greater things than this. He told Nathaniel that you will see heavens opened and the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Let me tell you this. The miracles that have stretched us now and the dimensions of the power and the Word of God will be child's play compared to the things that God has. Because the pride of men and this cosmos, there must be the introduction of something so divine and powerful to bring the kings to their knees. This current level cannot bring the kings to their knees again. You can what you call now the move of God. Go to Dubai, go to Singapore, go to the US and challenge them. They will look at you and say, stupid, this is what you came to tell me? Let me tell you the truth. We are not going to win the world just by charity. I believe in charity, don't get me wrong. But right now, the church is beginning to be so afraid. They don't have any other superior result. So they just have to blend to feed the poor. So that's the only condition to be accredited by non-Christian organizations, the world's interpretation of the church's relevance is feeding the poor and hungry. And I don't have a problem with it. But they are reducing us. So everybody is now saying, look, it looks like the in thing now, if you don't want to be criticized, quietly find orphans or find widows, buy sewing machine and color or something, just share and snap, and the world will say, well done, this is what you... The colder you are, the more the world says, well done, we are now seeing what you are doing. There are TV programs today that will not air Koinonia like this with what happened. No way. No way. With the move of God like this, someone shouting, you are creating controversy that will make the regulatory agencies get into trouble. Like I said, if you're a new believer tonight, you will need extra grace from God. That's why I pre-warned you already ahead of time. We need something more than what we have now to bring the arrogance of the kings of the earth. Let me tell you, they have prosperity. They have health. Do you know that most of what we claim the power of God does, we don't even have it well? Mention three or four things. The only thing that the church now, in as much as we know, can boast of: one, salvation; two, the personal communion of the Holy Spirit; three, the peace that surpasses all understanding. But as far as anything earthly is concerned, and the things I just mentioned are the things we don't emphasize. Most of the things we emphasize are the things we cannot defend. So we talk a lot about the miraculous. And while we are making all that noise, someone in Dubai has discovered a way of just making what we would do as a miracle cheap. And they will soon make it easy. And if that happens, we are going to be in trouble. Because a day will come on a crusade ground, just sharing a fence will be a free medical outreach with sophisticated machines. And those who are not healed in our meetings will just enter there quickly. And in 5 minutes, they are giving... When that happens, I'm not being sarcastic. When that happens, let me tell you, something will go wrong. Because one day, the government can shut down a church and say, we have examined and we cannot see your relevance. The church is more than a charity organization. It is our fear and our inability to rise higher. We have remember, there was a time where the healing ministry, the prophetic and all these things was cast on earth. The world had not caught up with that dimension. So if you had it, you could shine. But not now. Not now. Put a poster and put a wheelchair up. Nobody could dare question a miracle before. But right now, someone will come in that crusade ground. You would think he came to be blessed. He's videotaping everything from your face to the person on the wheelchair. They will go and examine the person and say, was that leg going to work anyway? Or was it your prayer that made it work? If I have malaria and I've started taking anti-malaria and I'm on day 4, and you pray for me, was I going to be healed anyway? Or was it the prayer that brought it? This is the judgmental spirit that our generation has. In the days of our fathers, nobody will ask that question. It will be on paper. Mighty things are happening. And a crowd. Now, mighty things draw criticism. Our generation, let me tell you this. Ask some of our parents who are here. There were many things that they knew that was not the best, but they had an unflinching loyalty for the voices in their time. Nobody would dare stand up and question a man of God. If they were not satisfied, they would leave him and go home and pray for him. Remember that talk of pray for him. Right now, a man can be preaching and a young man can stand up and say, sir, what you are saying? No. And create a debate there. Welcome to a new level of living where if we don't get the strategy for now, we will be in trouble. Are we together? Thank God for prosperity. But of the Forbes 100 richest people, I'm not sure there are up to 10 of them who are tongue-talking. So using physical wealth to bring the world to his knees is almost a failed project. Because there are some of these people who have given 95% of their wealth. I'm not aware of any believer who has done that now. I may be wrong, but I'm not aware. It means he must take something more than money. If it's education, the best institutes in the whole world are not Christian institutes. My brothers and my sisters, let me tell you. Whether it's research, whether it's medicine, whether it's whatever, we have to be honest. If it's in the term, in terms of well-meaning of civilization and all of that, go to heathenistic nations that have no hope for God and look at level of development, infrastructure. You look at all of these things. Many of them are already the future of Africa in the next 30 years now. What then will bring the kings of today's world to their knees? When Moses went with a rod to meet Pharaoh, Pharaoh said, nonsense. You left the wilderness to come and show me a rod to become a snake? I am Pharaoh. You show me more. We can sing songs and fall down in the church. Congratulations. But let me tell you, we need to take something out that can bring the kings to their knees. In Babylon, Babylon was a place of wizardry. There was something that happened with Daniel. There was something that happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that made the king to testify. The king passed a decree unanimously that nobody should bow to any other god again except the god of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Are we blessed? We must receive grace to not ever believe that what we have seen is all there is. We must obtain grace. Please hear me. If you have history here, thank God for the wonderful things. But you must obtain grace. The second point on what I want to talk about tonight, I'm just charging your mind. The first, I put it as the tragedy of complacency, an arrival mentality. The second is a condition that must be needed and met in a life if you will ever attract the hand of God that will take you to a higher dimension. It's called hunger and thirst. It's not enough to be ready to move to another level. Hunger and thirst are accurate measures of your spiritual health. The same way when a patient is sick, one of the symptoms in most cases is that you lose appetite. When you lose appetite, spiritually something is wrong. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. It says that they will be filled. Hunger and thirst. John chapter 7 and verse 37. Let's read it very quickly. Boy, my time is gone. John 7 and verse 37. Look up, please. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If you do not thirst, you can stay with what I've given with all the days. But in this new day, I have been visiting you, but on this last day, if you are still thirsty, come. Listen, listen, and understand what he's saying. Remember that it was not the first day, the last day. They had benefited from all the other days. But in the last day, he said, if any man thirst, let him come. You have enjoyed the move of God before. You have seen the hand of God before. You have seen the grace of God before. You have seen the sick healed before. And God is saying, in 2019, if there is any man that still thirsts, come. If there is any church that is still thirsty, come. Koinonia, if you still believe there is more and you desire, come. That means if you are not thirsty, you can go. It's all right. If any man thirst, let him come. Hunger and thirst, powerful. Without hunger and thirst, there is no appetite and there is no desire for more of God. This teaching, you hear me tell you tonight, if you don't hunger after it, it will not make sense. You want to listen to something else. This is a teaching for people who know that there can be more. This is a teaching for many people who know that, Lord, I've seen you do a lot of things, but I know that there is more in you. There is more in you. This was the mistake of Lucifer. Lucifer saw a dimension of God. He was the custodian, the librarian of heaven. And by the strength of everything he saw, he believed he had exhausted all there was in God. And then he wanted to rise to run a parallel government with God. And there was judgment in heaven. And he was brought to his knees. That was why when God was recreating man, it surprised him. Because he didn't know that those possibilities were there. They were not captured in the truths that were given to him. Reproduction, multiplication through reproduction had never happened. It was creation. Now that a man, one man, can meet with his wife and have a child that will said something is wrong. And so the angels came to meet with the daughters of men to use that strategy to create something else. Hunger and thirst. One of my prayers, a man of God, every time I say, Lord, please. You know, I've shared it with you here. Lord, do not show me the extent of my impact. It's my prayer. And I'm saying it even as I'm preaching here. Just give me a token. Let me just see a bit of what you are using me to do. And I'm grateful. And I'm satisfied. Let me tell you. If you think fame cannot influence you, think again. Was it not the same Alexander Dewe that went to a tailor, went to a fashion designer to sew just mantle with the cap, that kind of prophet chef cap? He sewed everything and tied his girdle. Behold Elijah. He read the Bible and said, this man is me now. What is this? What has he done that I'm not doing? They first started saying, you are Elijah. They said, no, all glory be to the Lord. But the time came, they said, you are Elijah. It's true. There are things you will not believe now. Keep rising. Tomorrow they will say it and you will believe it. How do you think people become Jesus? I don't mean image of Jesus, likeness of Jesus. Some gentlemen came here one time from Kano. Remember those Jesus guys and the apostles? Now I say, I don't know if they are here. But they came, some gentlemen, immediately after service. And one of them came for altar call. As soon as they were done, I just saw the gentleman. He said, was it Judas? One was Judas, one was Jesus. And this young man came from Kano. As soon as I saw them, I gave them a big hug. I said, look, my Jesus friend, let me tell you something. You are in the image. Listen, please, I'm teaching. You are in the image of Christ, yes. Are we together? You have attained oneness with Christ based on the doctrine of the gospel. Yes. You are in Christ, one with Christ. Yes. Are we together now? The Holy Spirit represents the presence of Jesus in your life. Yes. But that you are Jesus in terms of replacement, you are not like that. Do you think that guy got born again like that? I've not seen people pray under a tree for many weeks. And by the fifth week, they left that tree mad. With strange revelations from beings that were not of earth. Pride is a dangerous thing. Fame has a side effect. When people begin to clap for you, sometimes it becomes embarrassing to step back and let Jesus be seen. Because spotlight is sweet, oh. Oh, mine mediocre. Spotlight can bless your children's children. So when the spotlight is on you, you plan to be there forever so that when you shift, your child too will be there. When you shift, your grandchild too will be there. But there are times when Jesus says that you decrease, that you will increase. And many times it is embarrassing. You know, I go for meetings and when I see the mighty things that God is doing, or sometimes when I'm teaching, and the teaching grace is really on me, I see the shock and the wonder on the people and I say, oh dear, don't be deceived. You're only watching a puppet. There is one behind me. May I never be ashamed to let the world know that I am nothing without Him. This is not just some humility creed. There are many proud people who say this thing I'm saying. It's very true. You must get to a point in your life where you are not ashamed to stand back and tell the people it is Jesus. Jesus ever. Jesus only. He says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. Let's get back to what we're discussing. Hunger and thirst. There are times as a man of God, come, it will be embarrassing at your spiritual level to now join the flock to kneel down and cry for it, a greater dimension. You kneeling down for? The flock can kneel down. I'm kneeling down. This guy is standing. Are we together? Watch this. A time can come, when everybody is crying for more. People are rolling on the ground and saying, Lord, search my heart. And as a man of God, it's not any personality difference. You've led them to the throne room and you are just standing there. There's no need, because you have become the throne room yourself. You see, deception is subtle. So you will tell them to fast and you too, you will not fast. What is the need? I mean, whether I fast or not. You see, that if you want to be captured in every move of God, same hunger that made you climb a tree like a monkey and held on to one branch and cried there and say, God, I will not come down from this tree except you bless me. And God said, come down, I will show you what you want to see. If that same hunger is not there, now you can stay in a 5-star hotel. Listen, now you have all kinds of entourage. You know, sometimes I look at my life today and I thank God for what God has done. Many times, there are times that I wish that I had my life back in the days when nobody knew me. Fame can be destructive, even to your spiritual life. I can't go out freely. I can't eat freely. I can't be myself. You see that? I can't stroll out to just enjoy what God is doing. If someone there catches me there, instead of coming to join the line, now that I've seen him, let me just quickly. It's a very embarrassing life. It looks like fame, but it's dangerous. Time today is a luxury. You must intentionally sometimes close the door to some of this comfort and retreat back. Listen to me. And say, Lord, this is still your boy of before again. Oh, they now call me Apostle Joshua Selman, but this is still your boy again. And God says, are you still as hungry as before? He said, hungrier than before, oh God. After the miracles? Yes, sir. After the fame? Yes, sir. And then he says, now I will take you and show you higher things. Hunger can be discerned. And let me tell you this, if you're a man of God, please listen. Your congregation will be a reflection of your hunger. The moment you become complacent, that impartation will come on them. They will strangely find out that the grace is no longer there. Everybody say hunger. Almost 80 to 85% of the time, if you meet me, if I'm not studying, I'm listening to a message or something. There are times I just return from a ministration, right there, just entering my hotel room. You would think I should lie down and cross my leg. I started playing a message before I quickly went to go and preach. Now that I'm back, thank God for the mighty things. Sincerely, God is my witness. There are a few times that I think about a meeting and what happened. Once I leave that place, it's all right. If you ever ask me, how is the meeting? The only thing you will hear is fine. Doesn't matter what happened. The answer is fine. That's it. One of the mighty things that happened there, fine. A few times, some of you send me pictures and clips of what happened. And I look at it, whoa, you mean this is what happened? Lord, I give you praise. Let's continue. Do you know why? Because you see, You prepared for today yesterday. You don't prepare for tomorrow tomorrow. You prepare for tomorrow today. They are celebrating what you did yesterday. If you are not doing anything today, there will be nothing to celebrate tomorrow. Listen to me. You have to learn this. Those who win Olympic, as soon as they are done, they rest for a while, go on a vacation 1 month, and they are already preparing for the next Olympic. Champions don't rest. Champions move. Not in a competitive manner. There is more in God. Listen to me. You are not going to clap for me now because someone fell under the anointing. You may do that for your president in your small fellowship. You are not going to say glory be to God. Koinonia was powerful because someone was shaking. No. There are testimonies today that if you hear in another church, you will stand up and clap. I watched here. Somebody would give a very big testimony and Koinonia would just clap one hand and say, is it it? Go and sit down. We want something more. And you are right. You are right. You are right. Because your capacity is being expanded. That means yesterday's food will not feed you. Give an adult a baby's food. And you say, this is for what? The baby is grateful for having it. But the adult is still hungry. Don't you know that the more you grow, the more the nourishment must be strong in size and quality. The burden of being at the cutting edge of God's move will require you to be, listen, that hunger must remain in you. That hunger must remain in you. You see all the wonderful things that just happened when the meeting just started. I go back to God. Let me tell you something with me and God. There are few times, and I want to be very sincere with you. God is in this place. There are few times where God comments on any meeting that I've gone to. No. This is the realm of champions. You don't talk like mediocres. I don't come back to God and God says, ah, son, you did a great job in that crusade. What for? No. Let's continue the training. Like a coach looks at an athlete. You are the best in the field. And after they snap you and do everything, the coach is watching you. Not in anger, he's impressed. And once you come, he says, go and change your clothes. Wait for me in the field. It's proof of his love. You have conquered that standard. And he takes you higher. This is what happened to David. David exhausted the realm of his generation and rose up into another realm and began to see the coronation of the Messiah. The Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand. No other prophet saw that. It was David that understood the excellency of the Spirit. The Spirit was never given without measure to people. Please listen. And now David had gotten, he said, cast me not away from your presence. Take not. Other prophets were comfortable with the Holy Spirit going and coming. David said, but I've seen that a move of God will come. When this grace, the Spirit will come and stay. Lord, can I not enter that move? Hunger. Hunger took David to the secret place as a king. The palace did not mean anything to him. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather be an usher. Let me be an usher. The next move than to be a lord in the former move. Hunger and thirst for you. Dry and weary land. I hunger and thirst for you, dry and weary land. For all I want is you. In spite of the miracles, in spite of the revelation, I hunger and thirst for you. In a dry and weary land. Sing it from your heart. All I want is you. Lord, thank you for the revelations. Thank you for the miracles, for the word of knowledge, the prophetic. But Lord, I thank you for yesterday's wine, but I need the wine of today.
I hunger and thirst.
You must trust God for your secret place to have such a high standard that no matter what you are doing currently, when you get back to the secret place, you will see there is a step out of it. If your bar is too small, pride will kill you. If your bar is too small, one successful program will kill you. That's why you see all these young guys. Listen. Sometimes I talk to them and I encourage them. Don't let successful programs enter you. Don't let successful concerts enter you. Are you seeing that? There are people whose spiritual lives went down. There are people who could not pursue and seek after God again. The next move of God. Success can depreciate your pace. Because when you are motivated by a need to hit a standard, listen, it will give you an impetus. But where there is nothing to prove again, there is no hunger. When you go for a meeting today, whether you say God bless you and leave, nobody will ever say, oh, he doesn't have revelation. Oh, come on, the track record is there. Nobody will ever say, oh, he cannot heal. That's why he just did altar call and sat down. When you are starting out in ministry, the pressure to make your calling and election choice upon you. So even in 5 minutes, you want to do everything at once. You want to prophesy. You want to give word of knowledge. You want to heal. You want to share the latest revelation. But as God begins to crown your life with undeniable graces and honor, you get to a point where the pressure to rise is not there. And it shows that you have plateaued. It shows that you have arrived. But when your hunger remains, when I was preparing this message, I was praying for my own self. I said, Lord, my hunger should be larger than anybody's own in this ministry. Otherwise, how can I lead? Hunger. I've prayed for, but show me something else about prayer. I've seen your power before, but show me the one I've not seen. I've seen your anointing, but show me something else. I have seen the spirit of revelation, but show me something else. I have seen angels, but show me another dimension. At the apex of his apostolic ministry, look at a man's hunger that I may know him. That I may know him. Paul! I hope you know the doctrine of scripture starts from the writings of Paul, the Acts of the Apostles down till Revelation. The Gospels do not contain doctrines. No. The doctrines of scripture are embedded there. Some of them were just shadows as presented. Paul single-handedly wrote to third. Do you know what it means for a man to create the study curriculum of the church? It was not just Jesus that wrote it. Paul sat down and wrote to thirds. The limit of our spiritual growth is scripture. That is the boundary given to us for growth. And a man sat down by the Spirit and wrote it. Yet, when that man finished writing it, he said that I may know him. That I may know him. Oh God, that I may know you. That I may know you. I have seen your power, but that I may know you. A man of God said he went for a pastor's conference one time, and Pastor EA
Adeboye was there. And when it was time for all the men of God to pray, he said he wanted to lie down close to him to hear what kind of prayer a man at this realm would pray. And he said when he lay down all through for more than 1 hour, all that he was saying is mercy, mercy Lord, mercy, mercy Lord, mercy. The young minister there saying, power, power Lord, result, open doors, oh God, offering, send helpers. That small kiosk-like building must be completed, whereas there is a man here with kilometers as an estate, and his language and his desire, mercy. He has learned that one of the most important things is the mercy of God. Are you getting what I'm telling you now? Hunger. Hunger. If you're a pastor here, please minimize just praying for power and cry for hunger. Go back and buy the same new notebooks you bought that the spirit of revelation came to honor it. You have stopped buying it. Go and buy them again. Go and find a place where you used to sit alone with God. I'm too busy. I have counseling to do. I have mentees and sons in ministry. And you would die there and they will go to the next move because they are followers. Matter, matter. You are worried and obsessed about many things. But one thing is needful, to sit at the master's feet. Please listen to me. The things you did that brought you to this realm, go back and start creating the atmospheres for them again. Hear what I'm telling you. This is not the issue of I'm a big man now. No, 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 no. I have my notebooks. You see my notebooks. I can gather all of them for you from the time I started working with God. When I go for retreats, I go with all of them. All of them. Lord, what did you say? My God, look at what you said. I bought new ones for tomorrow. I buy it like this and I show the Lord. I say, Lord, see it. Your student is here again. Packs of biro. I'm ready. Because if you are not ready to hear and listen and write, he's not ready to speak. The level that Koinonia is right now is already exhausted there. I'm already preparing and aligning for the next seasons. Not today. The preparation of yesterday brought us to where we are today. Thank God for what God is doing around the world through this ministry. But my brothers and my sisters, it's child's play. And if we remain complacent, clapping, we will become like the old wine. We must be at the cutting edge of God's move through hunger. Genuine hunger. Oh, that we will have men and women of God again who will organize program for others but for yourself. You organize a program with the same energy for others for yourself. Hunger. Next point. My time is up, my God. You want to come up higher in the spirit. You will need an encounter with the spirit of prayer and supplication. Please write it down. This is one of the dimensions where the prayer ministry is irreplaceable. If it is the next level and the next move of God, there is nothing you will do to replace the ministry of prayer. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. Please write it quickly. Call unto me and I will answer. The revelation is an answer. It's a response. I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things that are not yet captured in your experience. Call unto me. Call unto me. Let me tell you something I've observed. And I say this respectfully. And I think it's a correction that the body of Christ needs to get. There are few believers who pray for edification. Most believers have left the ministry of edification to prayer. Most of our prayer is either warfare or request. There's nothing wrong with warfare. There's nothing wrong with request. But let me tell you, the dimension of the growth dimension of prayer is for edification. Where you don't enter the place of prayer with a prayer request, where less than 5% of your prayer is in English, you are not just entering to harass God. You are not just entering to say, Lord, there are powers sitting on my destiny. Leave destiny. The goal is edification. And you feel the growth. You feel the stretching from your spirit, man. Very few believers pray for edification. You can know it. Because you stand near them, they are weak as whatever. They love God, but their capacity is weak. Strength is discernible. Is why we fall off over everything. You don't get this miracle, you don't get that miracle, you harass God all around. But there is a level of strength and stability. Please hear me. The next move of God will come on the wings of genuine prayer. Thank God for miracle service. Don't get me wrong, there is a place of supplication and all of that. And there is a place of intercession for others. But can I tell you this? Those who were here many years ago in Zaria will tell you, there were few times when many people today that are greatly used by God around, there were few times where people took out time to actually pray for their own request. Believers who gather and just start praying, no prayer point, no prayer request. It's towards the end of the prayer. They'll just say, Lord, just to let you know, we have not eaten. And we trust your grace for supplies. Just to let you know that we have this issue. But the average believer right now prays. But our prayer does not bring the level of growth and stamina. Because that prayer is largely driven by lust. The need for things. So I can go to pray and spend 6 hours there. Correct. Well done. But that 6 hours is almost 5 hours of harassing God. When will the power come, oh God? Is that prayer? That's inquiry. You've not started praying. There are few believers who can pray if a request is not, if a prayer point is not raised. You want them to pray, you have to raise a prayer point. Say this, then they say, oh, yeah, now follow and pray it. Turn it into a prayer point. But when you say, let's pray, they just stand and say, so what should we do now? And other people are praying and they are just watching. But when it's all right, everybody stand up. Lord Jesus, my life, this and that. I'm not saying anything is wrong with that. But have you learned the edification ministry of prayer? The edification ministry. To the point, it used to be a big deal to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you were not filled with the Holy Ghost, it was as if you were naked. When believers gather by yourself, you will find one brother and say, sorry, can you pray for me? It used to be a project. But right now, there are believers who can be in a place for many years. They know about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And they don't argue it, but they have not seen the need. They just feel, one day if it happens, let me just be filled. Capacity. There are certain levels of grace and anointing that is a waste to come to you. It's like pouring a drum of water inside a cup. It doesn't make any sense. You need to expand. Please tell somebody, expand. You don't expand by preaching. You don't expand by going for ministration. You don't expand just by doing Bible study for others. You don't expand by conducting deliverance for others. No. You have to lock yourself. Lock yourself. Look at Jesus. The Word of God filled with the Holy Spirit. While others are sleeping, they are the ones who need Him. He will get up in the morning and pray for hours. It was a daily habit. To the point that when it was time for him to go to the cross, from the communion, the upper room, he branched Gethsemane and prayed there. He spake a parable to the end. Prayer is an instrument that we can use to correct anomalies. I agree. But please hear me. Learn to get into the place of prayer without prayer points. The prayer point is you. The prayer point is you. Many of those things will be answered when you are answered. The prayer point is you. There are many, many requests that are a revelation of weakness. When you access strength with God, you will check and not find the prayer points again. And you are looking at time, you are not praying. You are praying, you pop tom tom. You are not praying. 5 minutes, you know. Let me tell you this. God loves everybody, but he rewards seriousness. God rewards seriousness. There are pastors who are like that. Every 2 minutes, you are leaking something or swallowing something. There are times that you go to pray, my brothers and my sisters. You don't know whether you are on earth or you are in heaven. You don't know. It's a realm. There are many things about prayer when it's said, most believers don't know. Because that is a progression in a realm that you must get to for that thing to make sense. We must pray. Our weaknesses are becoming very glaring. We must pray for capacity. In fact, most people never sought anointing. It was a byproduct of some of these things. They didn't even know that anointing was to be sought directly. Now, all and sundry, you see a lazy people around crying for Benihin's grace in the secret place. 5 minutes. Lord, a double portion of what is on Benihin. And God is trying to say, no, I can give you joy. I don't want any. You know, if you are God, you give good gifts to those who love you. And God said, this is not how it works. Have regard for Benihin, not just God. You want a double portion of his anointing, and you are there 5 minutes snoring back. 5 minutes snoring back. No. Revive your prayer life. Revive your prayer life. Revive the edification dimension of your prayer life. Revive the edification dimension of your prayer life. Revive the edification dimension of your prayer life. Please hear me. Revive the edification dimension of your prayer life. Don't just pray needs. Don't just pray warfare. Pray to grow. Pray to grow. That's how many of us enter the realms of visions. It was not a conscious request. You pray your way till you break the gate that closes this realm and the next realm. Prayer, like a system of transport. Revive your prayer life. Say amen. There are men of God who don't pray. They are praying for me. That's a deception. It's a deception from the pit of hell. Let me tell you this. If you are a man of prayer and you are edified through prayer, there is a signature that the strength and the health of your spirit man is written upon you. Are we together now? Your communication and everything shows that there is a track record of prayer. You can stand on stage and mumble tongues and people look and the scarceness. You know that this one is just, it's not just the huskiness of your voice. There is the deep calls unto deep. People know that this one, you have, it's like creating a hole. There is a position your leg can stand in prayer. When you find a widespread congregation not praying, it's because the leaders don't pray. You only transfer to people out of the abundance of the grace that is on you. Please learn to pray. Don't pray when you have a meeting. This is what people do. When they have conferences, they now organize imaginary 5 or 7 days prayer. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But if you have to wait for a program to pray, you will never be powerful in this world. Everybody say prayer. I'll find a place to stop so that we can continue. A man of God said something that blessed me. I think it was Dr. Paul Enenche. I heard something that he said. I scrabbled it somewhere. And it blessed me. I said, boy, I was going to share this. I can't find it again. But I think he was talking around the fact that it was something about prayer. How that when prayer changes you, then everything that belong to the old you will have to go with the old you, because you are now changed. Are you seeing that now? Yes. It's like changing an house. I don't need to carry the tree that was in my former house. I didn't like it, so I left the house. The tree goes with it. When you are changed, many requests change too. He spake a parable. Listen, the church started on the wings of prayer. And we must pray. We must pray. Those listening to me, please pray. It doesn't matter what nation you are in. Pray. You don't have to be the president of anything to pray. Right now, this obsession about coordinator. I'm the coordinator of a prayer group, so I pray. If you pray because you are a coordinator, you are a hypocrite. Coordinate yourself behind a tree. Coordinate yourself behind a door and sit down and pray. If there's no space in your house, use your bathroom. Use your toilet. Lock up that place and pray. Stroll out in the night and pray. You don't have to shout and harass the people there, but pray. If your bed is uncomfortable, stand up from it. Stand up from it. Don't pray one leg is on the ground, 20 or 40% of your body is on the bed, and you are praying. God knows you are weak. He doesn't leave you weak. He gives you strength. Prove that you have received it by standing up. You don't have to have a bad dream. Then you wake up and say, you don't. I will show you that I'm a member of Koinonia. No. No. Make deposits of that prayer so that while you are sleeping, the prayer is like you praying. There are people who are praying even when they are not praying. Yeah? Their prayer has created a prayer motion that even in their sleep, prayer is going on. Their prayer has become a portal for angelic activities. They don't have to pray for it to start. Call unto me. Call unto me. Call unto me. Zechariah chapter 12. We'll stop here and pray. We'll continue next week. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. Come up here through prayer. Verse 10. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, and I will pour upon the house of David, the house of Koinonia, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourned for this and that and that and that. The spirit of grace and supplication is a spirit that comes upon you to pray. If you pray only because you are in prayer band, you are not a prayer warrior. A prayer warrior is not somebody. Who is a warrior? Remove prayer. A warrior boxer learns every day. A warrior chef cooks every day, whether there's an appointment or not. A warrior lecturer teaches every day. A prayer warrior prays every day. If a prayer warrior prays only when there are people there, so that they will hear your voice, you are doing exactly what the scribes were doing. The scribes and the Pharisees were never called prayer warriors. They were called hypocrites. Are we together? We'll take 10 minutes or so to pray. Come up hither. New dimensions in the spirit. Pray. Hallelujah. Before we pray, just cry in 1 minute. Lord, thank you for what you have done at this level. But baptize me with a fresh hunger. A hunger that swallows up every achievement that has been wrought in God in my life. Thank you, oh God, for the people I have mentored. But a fresh hunger. Pray for a baptism of spiritual hunger. Culminating into passion. Not just passion for studying books. Not just passion for studying the Bible. Not just passion for going to church. Not just passion for serving in the house of God. Passion to pray. Not just praying and asking. Praying and growing. Praying and rising. Are you praying? Hunger, O God. Shake. Rakata brandas katabala katu. Hunger. Challenge pride. Challenge the deceptiveness of fame. The deceptiveness of vain glory. Thank you, Lord, for these things you have done. But I cry for hunger. I cry for a thirst. To understand what you are saying next. To understand what you are doing next. Parago shalakata. Embreketeketeketopakarot. Hallelujah. 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 In the next maybe 5 to 10 minutes, I just want you to blast in tongues. You are not challenging any demon. You are not asking God to give you anything. No tea, no bread, no anointing, no ministry. You are praying for your edification. That your spirit man be built. Enlarge your capacity in the spirit. Enlarge your vision in the spirit. Enlarge discernment in the spirit. Shanabash Rakata Barakata Prakatelech Shambrato Sekete Lakaranda Kaparu Seketa Epros Kemarato Selekato Sebret Sekanegenebus Kapratos Kaparu Sesiabakata Empro Nasadash Kalabros Genebaha Shalemabus. Shake it, Though our outward man perish, yet the inner man is renewed. Pray, believers. Pray and rise into untold dimensions. Come up hither. Access to light. Come up hither. Access to true power. Come up hither. Access to untold dimensions of the workings of the Spirit. The spirit of grace and supplication. The body, the flesh may be weak, but I tell you, the spirit is willing. Willing to go to a higher dimension. Willing to go to a higher place. Willing to come up to a level where you will see the things that must happen. Pray, young and old. Be a man of God. You don't have to be a woman of God. You don't have to be a deacon. You just need to be one hungry and passionate for another dimension, higher than that which you have seen. Don't be tired. For my spirit man, on behalf of the generation committed to me, on behalf of the misfitted to me, Salamanakata, Parakatos, Zazel, Embrakatata, Tevalakatos, Sepros, Kamahasanich, Embrakatakatakatakatakate, Shaprokoto, Parakatos, Zedekesia. Do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Adabarandas kabarato shalakata pranagate, kadoske de baruta sigate bash. He speaketh parable to the end that men ought always to pray. men ought always to pray. The cure for spiritual laxity is prayer. The cure for spiritual limitation is prayer. The cure for timidity and weakness is prayer. The cure for weakness in ministry is prayer. The cure for spiritual weakness is prayer. The cure for aberrated dreams and visions, prayer. The cure for stale revelations, prayer. The cure for the absence of power, prayer. The cure for newness without freshness, prayer. Shalabarakata, makata praskata barakate, shakata shakata shaseta, ambrata barakata bata. Listen. Listen. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you why many worshipers don't receive songs. Because they don't pray. Many worshipers write songs. They wax album, but they don't pray. One of the proof of a healthy prayer life is the reception of spiritual songs. Let me tell you, you don't have to be a musician. There is a dimension of prayer that you get to. You must receive melodies in the spirit. You may forget it after the prayer, but you will need it as a ladder to keep climbing. I tell you why many, there are stale songs in the church. Because many of them are composed. Composed by an appetite to generate revenue. There are people who used to sleep with guitars and keyboards. And they will lie down and play for hours. 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 That's how to be a worshiper. That's how to bring songs from heaven. I tell you why many preachers are not fresh. They quickly open their Bible and browse on YouTube and browse on the internet. You prepare your sermon not by studying. Prayer creates the coordination on what to study. If you sit down with a notebook and you just feel, I know what to say. Oh, I'm teaching about this. No. You carry your notebook, you carry this. When I go to bed, my Bible follows me. My books, I'm on one side, my Bible is there. My laptop is there. My phone is there. Everything that helps my spiritual life lies down the bed with me. You don't prepare a message by going on YouTube. You prepare a message by going to the secret place. You pray and pray and you get to a point where your spirit man begins to zoom around a central thought that the spirit is speaking. You see that? And that's how series upon series will come out. If you do ministry and preach just by looking for sermons per week, you will not last 1 month. You will not have anything to say again. Before the time of prayer, you may not even know what to share in a conference, what to share in this, but you just pray. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. We are going to pray just 2 minutes. This is a request now. You are going to say, Lord, the grace and the stamina in the place of prayer, baptize me afresh with it. Don't say I'm a woman. No. Don't say I'm a man. Don't say I'm elderly. Don't say I'm a child. Don't say I'm a career person. Baptize me, O God. The grace for prayer. The interest for prayer. The unbeatable advantage of a life that can be defined through prayer. There is no limit for a man that can pray. Prayer is not everything, but as far as the dimension of a man's rising to access new realms in the spirit, no, you must pray. Harakata shana malakata, brata kete baresa katola baharata shenekata. As a preacher, the grace to pray. As a businessman, the grace to pray. Hallelujah. Let me tell you this. Listen. Prayer is an amplifier of every virtue you have. Anything is amplified in prayer. Revelation plus prayer is higher revelation. Speed plus prayer is greater speed. Wisdom plus prayer is superior wisdom. Strength plus prayer is greater strength. Prayer amplifies everything. Don't stop at spiritual potentials. They are there, but fan them to flames. The prophetic is there. It will remain as a potential until prayer crushes everything and brings the wine out of it. One of the ways you make your calling and your election sure is by prayer. Pray. Parents, teach your children to pray. Don't just teach your children to study. Teach them to pray. Little wonder, the number one thing being fought in schools is prayer. Not yet study. Prayer. Let no day pass without you praying. There is no reason for it. Don't do it as a ritual, but please do it. No matter how busy you are, once it's 6 o'clock or 7 or 8 or 9, your mind tells you breakfast. Once it's 12 or 1 or 2 or 3, your mind says lunch. Once it's 6 or 7 or 8, your mind says dinner. Indoctrinate your spirit man to be that sensitive. The moment is morning, you know. It's like a register you need to sign. Listen, let me tell you. When we started out, we never went to bed till we prayed. Once it was evening, 7 o'clock, 8, most believers already knew it was time to pray. It didn't matter what. Even if there was no corporate prayer, our fun and social life was in a place of prayer. Once it's 6:30, 7:38, you start seeing people one by one. You will see a tiny lady with her socks and her rechargeable playing one song. She's smuggling herself to one corner to go and pray. Later you see that girl come out. There were people who did this non-stop for years. They didn't know they were powerful till the day they told them, can you share in a little fellowship? As soon as they stood there, fire. You don't do ministry by appointment. It was while they prayed and fasted that the Holy Ghost said, separate. Separate. Separation comes in the place of prayer. It was while they prayed and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate. One week you've not prayed, you are all right. 3 days you've not prayed, you are all right. 2 days you've not prayed, it's okay, no problem. You know how Nigeria is, I will pray the other time. It's an attack. You must trust God for grace to pray. Like I said, many of us, it's not like we are not praying. But our prayer is largely warfare and demand. Warfare and demand. So we get to the secret place with different requests. Oh God, do this. Oh God, do this. Oh God, do this. We just water it down with tongues 5-10 minutes and we're done. That may not be bad, but you are not going to be mighty that way. You want to come up hither, you must spend time. And time means hours. It may not be the same capacity every day, but the goal is consistency. Consistency. Let me tell you this. If you pray a whole day, and the next time you pray again is 3 weeks, you will not grow. Did you hear what I said? If you pray 10 hours one day because of a program, or 7 days for 7 days prayer and fasting, then the next time you really take out time to pray is 2 weeks. You do it like that, you will not grow. The key is the constant connection. Constantly. Father, we thank you. We thank you because you are guiding us into your program, into the place of power. Oh, how we need your power. How we need your grace. A demonstration of higher dimensions of you that can crush and crumble the pride of men. Lord, we ask that you will grant us grace to rise beyond our complacencies. Grant us grace to rise to higher dimensions. We thank you for what you have done in our lives. They call us champions, but we call ourselves students. Hungry students, desirous of more of you. Lord, I pray that everyone tonight will receive a baptism of the grace for hunger. A baptism of the grace for prayer. In the name of Jesus. For those of us who have had our prayer lives go down and out, I pray tonight, let the coal of the Spirit rest upon your prayer life and find it back to flames. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus, please keep standing. You'll sit down shortly. Keep standing. Everyone stand, please. Outside, inside, stand. You are here tonight, and while I began to teach, the Holy Ghost started speaking to you and telling you that you need Jesus and you need your life to be right with him. Jesus said you must be born again. You may be following online, overflow 1, 2, 3 by the roadside, wherever you are right now, or you need to rededicate your life to Jesus and to mean it sincerely. It's my joy and my honor to lead you, to reconnect you to this flow of his grace, his love, his power. Wherever you are under the sound of my voice, please, if you're outside and you're coming, then you rush. I will count 1 to 5. You are in here, you are a first timer, you are coming, you just know that you need Jesus. As I count 1 to 5, please leave your seat quickly and come out. Don't wait for anybody to be the first one. Let's celebrate them as they come. Two. Someone is saying, I have to rise up higher. The first requirement was that I was in the Spirit. He said, that which is spirit is spirit. That which is flesh is flesh. Three. Apostle, I'm not sure if I'm born again or not. Join them. Join them. I want to come, but I'm ashamed and I'm afraid of my friends. I came with my colleagues. Win that war, my brother and my sister. Come. Hallelujah. If they are still coming, please make way for them to come. Just direct them. It's okay. Thank you. Now, I salute every single one of you. You have come. It's a bold decision. Some of you are truly, truly making this commitment for the first time. And then some of you are rededicating your lives. It doesn't matter what category you are in. Please lift your right hand high above your head and say this sincerely. Sincerely and truthfully. You are still joining them. Please come quickly. There's room for you to join. God bless you, sir. You are still joining them. Come. Say, Lord Jesus. Say it again, Lord Jesus. I believe in you that you are the Son of God. Tonight, I declare that you are my Savior, you are my Lord, you are my King. I receive eternal life. I'm sensing a strong anointing already here. I receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And I declare that I reign in life from today and henceforth. I am a child of God. I belong to Jesus, forward ever and backward never. Amen. Keep your hands lifted. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this once. I declare your sins forgiven. Authority of God's word, I declare that the grace to walk in the newness of life, the grace to be spiritual, is released upon you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, from today and hence, you go from glory to glory, from grace to grace, from faith to faith, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. A big congratulations to all of you. Please, I'd like you to follow. There's a gentleman waving his hands. All of you in concert this way, just follow this gentleman and he will lead you to people. Let's honor them. Appreciate them, everyone. Appreciate them.
We believe you are mightily blessed. To connect with the ministry and get more from Apostle Joshua Selman, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Koinonia ENI. To stream Koinonia Live, go to mixler.com/koinonia-radio
and download the teachings on koinoniasermons.org. For questions and inquiries, call 0814-721-4444 or 0907-777-7853. We love and celebrate.